Well, this week we're finishing of our series, The New Year's Revolution. This is week number four. We're going to talk about restoring relationships. But before we restore relationships and get kind of in the meat of it, I feel like I'm in an in-between between last week and this week. Because last week was about giving up grudges. And ultimately what we talked about was forgiveness. But this week we're going to talk about restoring relationships and what does that look like? And should every relationship be restored? Should every friendship go back to the level that it used to be? Should every ex now become reunited with the... It gets really hairy as you start getting into this. And so I'm going to just try to process through some of it. But in doing that, I feel like we need to have one foot in last week and one foot in this week in order to blend the two. Because week number one, we talked about the battlefield of the mind. The greatest war that you will ever have is in your own brain. Fighting belief systems, fighting failures. Why do I say failures? That's what we talked about week number two. We get hung up that we fail, but Jesus Christ actually expected us to fail. Told Peter, I'm planning on you to fail, but I don't want your faith to fail. So just because you fail, don't blame God. Actually keep a grip to God, and then you'll find purpose through your failure, and ultimately it's to minister to other people. So last week we talked about in those failures, some of those are relational failures. Some of those places are where people wounded us, and we have grudges, and we need to figure out forgiveness. So this week we're going to start off with the largest data drop I've ever done on you. I'm backing up the informational dump truck. I'm dumping it on you, and here's why. I haven't wanted to do this all week long. I felt like it was wrong to do, but also, actually, I'll tell you, this morning at 5 o'clock is when everything kind of came together, and it feels like I'm supposed to do this, because if there's one thing that you hear that pricks your heart, you now have a resource to be able to go to. So here's the resource I'm referring to. I'm going to, for those watching online, we're thrilled that you're joining us. Here's a picture of a book. For those here, it's called The Choosing to Forgive Workbook. Not the emotional reaction, and I need to forgive. It's the conscious choice that I need to forgive. And what is the 12 steps? Anyone ever heard of a 12-step program before? Welcome to forgiveness. Here's a 12-step program. Because sometimes we just need to process through these steps in order to get where we want. So ready for this? Here's the 12 steps. Feel free to take notes. Good luck keeping up. You may want to get podcasts later to rewind it. But if I say something and you go, oh, that's where I'm at, you got to get the book. You got to research it. And ready for this? I know you're not going to want to believe this, but it's true. Not all of your life problems are going to be solved right now in this moment right here. Sometimes we have to process through things outside of a Sunday morning. So the Choosing to Forgive Workbook, first one, openly recognize wrong deeds as wrong deeds. Don't downplay them. And my example, I'm not going to give an example for everyone, but this one stuck in my head. How many remember the movie Frozen? Okay, so when my boys were kids, they watched it. Then I had a baby girl. She now watches it, and the boys despise it, if anyone else is with me. Yay, Frozen 2's coming out, and we get to do this all again. So there was this time when one of the daughters froze everything, and they were going to go chase after her. And the other daughter said, I'll go, and they go, no, she's going to hurt you. She did this evil thing. And the other daughter said this. She goes, it isn't her fault. I forced her to da-da-da-da-da. No, you didn't force her to do anything. And it's amazing, sometimes when we get wounded, we justify why it's our fault and they're right. And at some point, you have to go, no, that was a wrong deed. That was a wrong deed. It was done to me. And you have to recognize it for what it is. And then you have to, step number two, you recognize that your anger is not only normal, it's necessary. Anger is an emotional indicator to something deeper going inside. But I need to tell you now that in this area where you need to forgive someone, if you're at a place where every time you think of it, the only thing you get is rage, you got to take a step past that. Because anger can be an indicator, and worked properly, the emotion of anger can actually be a healthy thing. But you can't just live there. You can't live there forever. Because why? You realize ongoing bitterness will ultimately harm you. You can become a bitter old person. And for those who are elderly, I'm not meaning that as a hit on you, but have we ever met the grumpy grandpa? Why is it somewhere along the line? They allowed something and more and more and more, and they eventually get bitter, and the only thing that bitterness does is hurt you in the long run. But in forgiving them, and by the way, when I say forgiving someone, I'm going to use an extreme example. Someone murders a loved one of yours. Just because you forgive them doesn't mean you justify their act. Does that make sense? Just because you forgive them doesn't mean that they're not going to go through a court system, be found guilty and get put in prison, and then you go, good, they got what they had coming. No, you're thrilled that justice occurred, but I forgave them in my heart, because if you don't, you put an anchor to your soul and tie it to a devastating moment in time. And God's going, no, you need to cut that, and in your life, you live with forgiveness, but it doesn't mean you've given them a get-out-of-jail-free card. Does that make sense? So we're not looking just to let everyone off the hook. What we're doing is trying to give ourselves freedoms. And then you're going to learn from your problems by establishing better boundaries. I'm going to use a very practical example. Let's say you're a business owner. Someone comes in, gets a line of credit. The first time that they buy something on a line of credit, rather than paying it in 30 days, they're at 45 days. 45 goes to 90, but you eventually collect. The next time they come in, you go, hey, it didn't really work out with the credit. Write me a check. Okay, great. I'll write you a check. They write you a check. Check bounces. Third time they come in, you go, hey, credit, I appreciate. Check was no good. The moment you hand me cash, I'd love to sell you this product. Doesn't mean you don't love them. Doesn't mean you don't want the best from them. But I'm going to reestablish a boundary because apparently this keeps wounding me and you get off. So when you have to have forgiveness, reassess boundaries. And by the way, I said earlier, you know, do you have to go back to every ex? No, there's probably new boundaries that are going to be established there. But you can actually have healthy boundaries where there's a relationship that occurs. Refuse to be the inferior position and resist the desire to be the superior. The worst thing that can happen is when someone wounds you and all of a sudden, rather than becoming humble, you become beaten down. That's unhealthy. Or here's what you do, which by the way, this is David Amston's go-to. You become the man. You climb on top. You show them that you're superior and you will conquer them. No, here's what you are. You're two sinful human beings trying to figure out life together. And so you don't cower to them and you don't dominate with power. You come eye to eye and say, listen, we need to figure out how we can be equals here and we can have this relationship. Avoid the futility of judgment. Let God be the ultimate judge. You know the judgments that you play over and over in your head of what they deserve. It does nothing but harms you. Absolutely nothing. Allow yourself permission to grieve. It hurt. Men, cry about it. Women, cry about it. Men, talk about it. Women, talk about it. Grieve. It was a wounding. It was a relational death that occurred. You should be able to grieve over it. Confront the injuring party if appropriate. I'm going to repeat that again, pretty much the last part. If appropriate. Don't leave Navigation Church this morning. Pull out your cell phone and start scrolling through going, who do I need to call? If it ain't that much on the forefront of your mind, you may need to deal with it personally. But if it's someone you're in a relationship, which, by the way, if it's a brother and sister and you don't know how this works, just go read Matthew 18. If it's appropriate, you go talk to them. And I'm going to, in a little bit, I'm going to give you a couple more keys to that. But if appropriate, you go talk to that person. Find emotional freedom as you let go of the illusion of control. You can't control them no matter what mental scenario you played. Because here's what happens in our mental scenario. You go to them and you say everything perfect. And in saying everything perfect, they respond perfectly back to you. And then as they respond perfectly back to you, you have this beautiful euphoric running down the mountainside, flowers, you hear songs playing behind you, and the relationship is restored. It's a complete illusion. The only thing you can control are your responses. Not reactions, responses. Choose forgiveness because it's part of your life mission. Forgiveness is not an emotional thing that you do, and then the forgiveness happens on the backside. It's a decision that you make that the emotions are meant to follow afterwards. You choose to forgive because this is our life mission. Come to terms with the other's wrong deed by recognizing your own need for forgiveness. I think this is a beautiful tool that if you ever, and by the way, this is great for marriage, this is great for work environment, if you can figure out who that other person is, maybe what they're going through, you can actually come to terms sometimes and figure out, this is probably why they did it. Doesn't make it right. Mind you, it doesn't make you right. But if you can go, man, they came from a broken home. They came from an abused background. They came from poverty. They came from I can see why this is the natural action of who they are. And you can actually, it's kind of a weird way to say it. You put yourself in their shoes. And you go, I can see why they responded like that. Final thing, become a source of encouraging to other hurting people. We covered this in when coming with our failures, because when Jesus said to Peter, when you return back, turn to your brothers and encourage them. Okay, now everyone do this. Oh, be honest with me, just a ton of information. But I didn't feel released not to release it. So if there was one thing that kind of hits you, if there was one thing that you go, you know what, when it comes to my past, when it comes to this, I do justify it, I do let them off the hook, I do feel beaten down, I do feel anger, I do, all those things. If it is, get this workbook, begin reading it, and find freedom from this thing so you can move on. And actually, in moving on, here's what you're going to do, you're going to restore relationships. So in restoring relationships, here's what I want to tell you this morning. This quite possibly was the hardest sermon that I've ever had to try to come up with. I made a joke at the office this week. Why in the world did I put this one on the schedule? I've listened more. I've read more. I've tried more things. I tried every which way to look at it. I wanted to come up with a neat, shiny, beautiful thing to give you. And here's what I realized. It happened this morning, by the way. I love that God just couldn't do this on Monday for me. Waited till this morning. I'm trying to give you the key to relationships. And God was saying there is no key to relationships. Relationships have been around since the foundation of the earth and even before then. God in heaven, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they had relationship in eternity before time was created. God created all the earth, put man in there, gave man all these jobs, but then said this, it's not good for you to be alone, you have to have relationship. So I'm going to say this phrase, and I think you'll agree with me on it. When it comes to relationship, it's one of the most vital things we need in life, as well as the most difficult and the most painful. Would you agree with that? I'm going to live without relationship. You're not, actually. You can't. You have to have a relationship with your grocery store. You have to have a relationship with the people that you, as you're driving down the road, and actually a right relationship with other drivers. All of life is about relationships. And so for me to come and go, here's the silver bullet, here's the magic wand, here's the nugget that you need in life, it's absolutely impossible, because I dearly believe this, that if we wanted to do a Bible study for a year, we could start in Genesis, go all the way to Revelation, and every one of the story find a key to relationships, because the entire Bible is about a relationship. So this morning, I don't think I'm going to be able to help everyone, and I'm okay with that. But I think I can help someone when we talk about how important relationships are. And actually, I want to tell you how important God sees relationships. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5. If not, I provided the scriptures for you. And here's the story, and this is Jesus talking now. So this isn't some Pharisee, this isn't some disciple that might have got it wrong, this isn't an Old Testament prophet that thinks he knows what, this is Jesus telling us this. Ready for this? He goes, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, so this is someone who's at church, about to give a gift, give money, give. At this time it would have been wheat, it would have been their harvest of some sort, and there you remember something, you go, your brother or sister, you have something against them. Leave your gift in the front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, and then come back and offer your gift. So Jesus is saying this. So if you're at the altar, if you're ready to give something, and there's someone in your life, you go, oh my gosh, it's not right between the two of us. I need to leave my gift. And this is the key, because some of you, as soon as I'm done preaching, you're going to leave and you're going to tell the ushers and the greeters, I have to go forgive someone. No, you leave your gift at the altar. You can't just skip out on the offering. That's still a vital key. But you then leave it at the altar. You then go reconcile. You come back and then give your gift. Let me summarize it by saying this. A healthy relationship to Jesus is more important than you going to church. A pastor just said that to you. You ready for this? For those watching online, it's more important than you tuning in. It's more important for my brothers and sisters for us to rightly relate one to another than it is for me to attend one more service bitter to them. It's more important. You got to hear this. So this is what Jesus is saying. It's you have to attend Sunday morning every single week in order to be a good Christian. No, actually, you need to be rightly related with your brother and sisters. You know, one of the reasons we love our small group community, we call them nav groups here, is because this is a great environment for you to listen to me and not talk back. Right? Because if someone would talk right now, we'd probably have a small exchange. If you talk too much, I'm thinking security is going to help you. Right? But it's different. Rather than you being in rows when we're sitting in a circle and someone throws a thought out and someone goes, I just can't believe that. Wrong. That's too painful. And now all of a sudden we're sitting in a circle and we get to relate. That's where healthy Christianity happens. These are great tools. This is a great environment to be in. But there's something when you're sitting in the circles. It would be healthier for you to be a part of NAV groups and never come on a Sunday morning. I don't mind saying that because there's something about healthy relationships. And by the way, I love the word here. It says, be reconciled to them, not be restored to them. See, restored means let's get back to the friendship that we had. Where reconciled is we just need to reestablish a relationship. Now, we can be friends and we can be friendly, but it doesn't mean we have to be best friends. We can learn how to live together, but it doesn't mean I'm having you for a sleepover. I'm 40 years old and I just said have you over for a sleepover. There's so many things wrong with that, right? Here's the other thing. It doesn't say this. I'm coming to you so that I can unload my burden on you. Actually, I'm coming to you so we can release the burden. I love, and by the way, I do get this on a regular basis, and I want everyone to approach me all the time, but I love when someone has a problem with me or the church, and rather than coming and trying to reconcile the problem, they want to let me know how much they're mad at something, but then at the end they go, but I've forgiven it. Actually, I bet you feel better now that you just dumped it on me. Although, to be honest, and this is true in all of our life, it's usually our problem. Like, I might have been the one that poked the bear, but you're still the bear. Does that make sense? So it can't be about, I want a healthy relationship, so I need to go on them and tell everything I don't like about them. I don't know if that'll be healthy on the long term. Versus, I'm coming to you, why? Because I need to reconcile. I need to be able not to transfer, but unload this burden so that we can rightly relate together. And by the way, in writing, relating, I told you it's more important for relationship than going to church. Actually, I'm going to take it a step further. So what God's saying is being present in a physical building is one thing. But in 1 John 4:20, it says this, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister, you're a liar. I wanted to say it like that. It is a liar, but you're a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister, who they can physically see. So when we are at odds with each other, when there's pain between us, I can see your demeanor go down. I can see the pain that I'm causing you. Or when we're rightly relating, I can see the smile on your face. I can hear the joy in your laughter. If I can't get along with you that I see, you cannot love God who you haven't seen. So ready for this? If you are continuing to hold on to a grudge, maybe from a past failure, because the warfare of your mind continues to wage on, here's what God's saying. It's impossible for you to love me properly. Amen. Like, I know it feels like a downer of a Sunday, but here's what I'm trying to tell you. I can't give you the key to relationships, but if you know the value of them, you'll work harder on them. And if you, here on earth, have a relationship that is wounded and you're not working on it, I'll tell you now, it's keeping you from fully knowing who God is. Have you ever heard the phrase, time heals all wounds? I looked up the Greek in the Bible on that and it means bull. Yeah. Actually, I couldn't look it up in the Bible because it's not in the Bible. It's stupid. Yesterday at men's meeting, a gentleman by the name of Roy talked, and a while back he was on a ladder, fell, broke his leg in two places. I remember coming around the house and his leg is bent sideways, and I go, Roy, it's all right. Time will heal that. Just lay there. He needed to go to an expert who put pins in it and put it up for 6 weeks, not able to move, and eventually a sweet little cart with his leg up. It was a pimp walk. It looked good for him. Not everybody, but it worked for him. And guess what he needed? You don't go to a cancer patient and say this, hey, don't worry about getting treatments. Time heals all wounds. I've said it wrong every time. Don't expect for it to change at this point. You don't go to someone who's been offended and had a broken relationship. And here's the thing, the ones you love the most will always wound you the most. Because you give yourself to them the most. You open yourself to them the most. And then all of a sudden they bite you. They stab you in the back. They betray you. And for you to feel wounded there and go, it will be all right. Time heals all wounds. No, you're hurt. And guess what? If you allow that hurt to be a scar, it becomes a new layer, and that new layer becomes less sensitive to the world around you and ultimately to the God you say you love. And here's what God's saying is, you can't. You can't properly love me because you don't love the people around you. And if you can't practice on loving people around you, how do you know how to do it correctly with me? And then, by the way, you ready for, I'm going to go ahead and take it one step further. So not only is it more important for you to love God or to be in proper relationship with someone than it is to attend church, not only could you not love someone and ultimately you're not loving God properly. Ready for this? In 1 Peter 3:7, it says this, husbands, and by the way, get the context of the passage is all about proper relating. I'll cover that in a minute. It says, husbands, in the same way, live with your wives with the understanding of their weaker nature, showing them honor as co-heirs in the grace of the life so that your prayers will not be hindered. So when you kind of break down, here's what this is saying. If you aren't proper relating with your wife, or can we say that, with a relationship, it hinders the ability for God to hear your prayers. Again, not a real amen. But what if I tell you this? Every time you hold on to bitterness, God's ears are blocked up. Why isn't he coming through for me? Because you're not really coming through for him at this point. I hate to say it, because God doesn't work on merits, but he does work on principles. And if you need to have this relationship that needs to be restored, but you're crying out to God, I'm telling you now, you're hitting the tin ceiling. He's unable to hear. It hinders his ability to hear your prayer, because here's the thing. If you don't know how to rightly relate to him, how do you know how to rightly pray for them? Does that make sense? And I promise you, God, get them. That prayer never works. Trust me. Here's the four people I can... No. But what happens if your prayers sound like this? God, I'm hurt. This individual wounded me deeply. And Lord, if I can be honest with you, and by the way, if you need help with this, go to any Psalms where David's talking about someone coming after him. He basically says this, kill them, God. Destroy them. Let the enemies feel the wrath of your hand. Like, this is what he says to them. But eventually, by the end of the prayer, he says this, but God me. How would you like to know that in every situation, anytime someone wounds you, even if they're 99% wrong, you can find something out about yourself in the 1%. So now all of a sudden you're pushing into God saying, God, talk to me about me. God, talk to me about me. God, give me perspective on this situation. Man, it doesn't sound like you're scarring up. It sounds like you're actually becoming more sensitive. By the way, this is a choice to make, not an emotional reaction, because it's not intuitive to our nature to just forgive. Actually, if you go all the way back to the beginning, Adam and Eve, when there was a division that occurred in a relationship, there's a couple things that happened. By the way, I'm about to give you $1,000 worth of free marriage counseling. Ready for this? You get distant, you get demanding, and you get defensive. I was going to kind of break these three out with different stories on each one of them. I think you're pretty smart people here today. In your relationships right now, any place that you become more distant, when you guys first found each other, you didn't need anybody else. 7 years into the relationship and marriage, you say this, we have no friends. We need to get out more often. And there was a time when you only wanted to be the two of you. So if distance is happening in a relationship, I'm warning you now, you're going on the wrong side of having a right relationship. If all of a sudden things become demanding, honey, get me versus would you please? It's a fine line. And by the way, I tell you this, this is natural in people. My kids, honest to God, think my wife and I work for them when it comes to every meal. Dad, I need ranch. By the way, whoever invented ranch, vegetables go down easier. It's like a lubricant that you can just have there. But you can walk to our refrigerator and press, and they get water, and all of them like to do it when they don't need it, but the moment they need it, they become demanding of us. And we go, hang on, we don't work for you. Your spouse doesn't work for you. This is a relationship. But if you become making demands on them in that relationship, I'll tell you now, you're going down the wrong road of rightly relating. But then, of course, when it becomes defensive, why are you on my phone? Why do you care if I'm on your phone? If you don't like it, get Apple. You can sync your phones. You can literally see how often your wife misses a phone call from her sister. Like, I can see how often this happens. You can see the text message. You can see that relationship happening. And by the way, if I'm defensive about who I am, there's probably something that I'm trying to defend. And so any of these keys, we're going in the wrong way. And men, I hate to say it, fear is a major contributor to why we don't want to engage in hard relational conversations, especially when we hear those four words. We need to talk. The man makes a sigh, not her, right? I know, it happens. But here's saying, we have fear engaging in those conversations. But if fear rises up, it should be an indicator that there's something that you do need to deal with. And so, okay, so final thing, ready for this? So God wants you to have better relationships than just attending a church. God wants to have a proper relationship with you, and it can't happen if you're not properly relating with people around you. God wants to hear what you have to say, but he can't if you won't hear what they have to say. Ready? Final one, James chapter 3, verse 18. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Okay, so you may go, well, this has nothing to do with the relationship. It does, though. When you look at it in the context of the passage it is in, this chapter is all about our tongue. And the most violent weapon that you have is your tongue. My wife and I a couple weeks from now, we're going to be sharing together, and we've already been talking about a few of the things we want to discuss. And I guess I'm going to tell you one of the points now. So we were in bed together on our own sides with pillows between us, acting healthy and not awkward. there was no pillows between us. And I asked her this question. I said, have we ever had a major fight in bed? Like, have we ever been in bed just yelling back and forth, or I'm sorry, I'm a pastor, discussing healthily back and forth, right? And we cannot remember one. Doesn't mean we haven't had a big fight today. It means in that situation. And one of the things we realize is there's certain environments that we don't want to take our relational conflicts. And for us, the bed is not where you want to be angry, right? It's where you want to be happy because you get sleep. So you're in bed. So you got to pick your environments when trying to have this healthy relationship. But then we realize another thing. In our tongue, we all have weapons of mass destruction. So would we be willing to leave the pen in or the code off the table? Because I promise you now, if my wife and I are having a big enough fight, I know the thing to say. Don't laugh at me. You all... Jesus, you cousins of Jesus all of a sudden. So I guarantee if I say this, it ends the argument. She cries because I beat her down. Okay, thank you. I'm so happy heads are shaking because I'm worried the spirit of judgment just moved into the room. But in a relationship, when it comes to our tongue, am I sowing weapons of mass destruction out of this tongue that I have, or am I sowing happiness? See, this says the word righteousness. You can also look at it like this. If you sow good things, you reap good things. So in your relationship, if all you throw out there are things that make a relationship go away from each other, guess what the natural reaction of your relationship is going to be? You're going to move away from each other. And here's the other cool thing. Ready for this? This is so exciting about destroying a relationship. If you take a little piece of corn, put it in the ground, a little piece of corn replaces it. No, ears of corn. And in the ears of corn, there's a bunch of itty-bitty things. So when you say, man, I sowed this, I can't believe I'm getting it back this big. No. You always get back more than what you give. By the way, we could take this into an offering. We could take this to a giving principle. If you put your money in an account or in an investment, ideally you put in $100, and in today's economy you're going to get back 2.13%, right? So you that's a really bad investment, by the way. Get a better CD. So you put your money out there, it should return back to you more. So in my family, if we are, and I'll be honest with you, the other night, it's the Apple remote. I have one son that just thinks he should throw it every time it goes down. And it infuriates me. I don't know why they can't set it. And so I yelled at him not to do it again. And here's what he did. He started crying, and he said, I hate when you go to that voice. Yeah, that's how I felt too. So am I surprised 2 years from now when I hear that voice louder? Right? So that's what I'm sowing. Versus, son, we need to talk. Can we have a dialogue about this? And by the way, they're not logical, so I don't know why I try to keep using logic at this age, but just If you break this, we don't get that, and we need that. So, okay. But what you sow, you can't be surprised when it comes back to you even more than what you gave it. Because that's the natural thing of sowing and reaping. So if you sow anger, bitterness, gossip, backbiting, versus sowing peace and forgiveness and understanding. See, in a healthy relationship, you get what you give. And when you get what you give, if you're doing it properly, you'll be able to hear what each other's are saying. And hearing what each other's saying, you actually build a deeper, closer friendship and more intimate relationship. And that way, when you are at worship, when you're with God, when you're at a Bible study, when you're doing a devotional, whatever it is, you as individuals, you as a couple, you in your relationships, you have a closer, more intimate time with God. And by the way, Jesus wouldn't have said all this, the Bible wouldn't have recorded all this, if God wouldn't have done all this. So nav groups, you have this passage that you're going to get to tear apart this week and talk about, but it's in Colossians 1, 19 through 21. I don't have the scripture for you. I'm not going to read it to you. But it ultimately says this. Jesus, who was perfect, saw sinners in the world, but he wanted them reconciled back to him. He wanted the accounting on the books to equal out to zero. But we couldn't reconcile our side. So Jesus clothed himself in flesh, came to the earth, died on a cross so that mankind, us, could be reconciled with God, a holy God, because now Jesus did it for us. And if Jesus is willing to give his life for a relationship, how far do you think we're supposed to go for ours? Jesus is willing to put himself in a different situation in order for him to pour himself out. Don't you think it's time for us to put ourselves in a hard situation, not fearing what's in front of us, in order to make that relationship right? So ultimately, if your vertical relationship isn't right, your horizontal ones won't be either. So I want to give everyone a chance. If you're here today and you're not rightly relating to God, I want to just give you that opportunity real quick. But to do that, I'm not making the horizontal rights. So everyone, I need to talk to you individually. If you wouldn't mind, could you just close your eyes, bow your head, and kind of separate yourself from someone around you? I'm going to ask this very simple question. If you're here today and you don't rightly know who Jesus Christ is, if you're here today going, nope, this is a relationship, maybe I grew up in church, but I've walked away, maybe this is your first time ever hearing a church, God, religion, faith, but as you're sitting in here, everything inside of you going, no, this is right. I need to be rightly related with God because my relationships around me, his might be heaven, but the rest are hell. I'm just going to ask you right now, if you're here today and you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, with all eyes closed and all heads bowed, if you're here today, just simply raise your hand in the air so that I can recognize that you've made this decision to say yes to Jesus. If that's you today, just put your hand in the air so we can see you and we can recognize you. Amen. Praise God. God, today as we look around this room, relationships are the hardest thing for us to endure. Rightly relating one to another is a difficult thing to do, and we'll never be perfect at it. Lord, we'll have failures in it. We'll also hold grudges in it. But God, if we see the value that you place on relationships, may that stock go up in our eyes. And rather than just writing someone off, dismissing them, walking away from them, may we choose to engage so that we can be reconciled, so that our communication with you and relationship with you diminishes not by 1%. We love you, God. And we thank you that in this new year, we're going to have a revolution in our old mindsets so that we can know you more and properly relate to the world around us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.